This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Favorite at home. I mean, isn't that right?
I think that's right, yeah.
I mean, this is just straight coin flip. They have not been impressive. Tennessee's been about as expected, and that's brought this game from Missouri being kind of a slight favorite to pretty much even on a neutral field as the season has kind of played out. The next week is South Carolina back at home.
Yep.
The way the seasons have gone for those two teams, I think that's one of two SEC games that were thought to be wins coming into the year, and it still is. That's why the Missouri game is so important, because if you win that game, you're going to come back home with a lot of confidence. You have a chance to get another SEC win and really set yourself up for the toughest stretch of the year in terms of kind of back-to-back games where you play Ole Miss at home and then have Alabama on the road the next week before getting to your bye week. No matter what happens, I think you'll be able to travel to Kentucky with something to play for, and you'll probably be in a good spot mentally no matter what. Like, the problem is, if you lose at Missouri, does that kind of take some wind out of this team's sails against a home game against South Carolina? Because losing that game is what could really make the season go sideways. If you lose at Missouri, you bounce back and beat South Carolina, people aren't going to be that distraught over the year. But if you lose both, that's where people are going to start to be like, oh, come on, man. Like, we haven't beaten anybody this year that matters. And we have Ole Miss and Alabama next. You know, if you win both, you know, that's why this stretch is so important. If you win both.
3.5 points for Missouri.
Okay. So, I mean, it's right there. I think no matter what happens, because Kentucky's after a bye week, you're going to be able to get the players kind of wherever you need them to be. You know, if you beat Missouri, beat South Carolina, and even get blown out against Ole Miss and Alabama, you still get the bye week to go, okay, guys, come on now. Those were the two best, you know, two of the three best teams on our schedule. We're going to Kentucky this week. This one's a big one. Even if the season's kind of gone sideways, you finally get to the bye week, maybe you can kind of reset and say, all right, it's a four-game season here. At the end, I don't want you to worry about what happened before the bye. Let's try and go 3-1 here to end the season. But that's why these next two are everything.
That stretch, though, before Kentucky with Georgia or Bama and Ole Miss kind of scares me a little bit, because that Kentucky game was really one game I'd like to kind of go into as healthy as possible.
You get a bye before Kentucky.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
That's the key
there
for that one.
You got Ole Miss at Alabama, then the bye week. So
chance to lick your wounds a little bit.
Yeah, so I mean, this week's pivotal. It really is. It's like the Pitt game, you know, all over again. If you'd won the Pitt game, there'd have been a lot more people, I think, fired up when that game was 14-10 and 17-14, and you know, all the way through halftime this weekend, you'd be
sure.
You'd have been undefeated. You'd have been in the game with Florida. Because you lost it, it was kind of like, well, hey, we're hanging in. Let's see how long this lasts, kind of feeling. If you beat Missouri, it's going to kind of turn the tables back to, okay, well, you know, maybe we can kind of climb over these mid-tier teams in the East and, you know, and kind of make a push to finish, you know, third in the division.
No, it's a big week. I mean, the second half against Florida stunk. Everybody's upset. But I think the first half gave people that kind of false hope, so they got a little into it. They got a little excited, and then you get just, you know, decimated in the second half. So now everyone's mad. Well, we were in it. Why did we lose? Florida's a better team than you. They're just better right now. You know, you were what did the line get up to? Was it 22.5 at one point? Did it open at 22.5? Tennessee hung in. I mean, I realize they covered. It wasn't the, you know, the blowout cover where Tennessee backdoored to
Vegas. Still had it perfect, really. Even I mean that last drive. If you know, if one bad thing happens for Florida, or if Tennessee goes down and scores, either way,
right.
I mean, it was right on the line.
Mm-hmm. You know, Tennessee makes their field goal, forces one more field goal. It's a completely different situation. I like the matchup with Missouri. I think we've run the ball well enough that I think we can run the football against them. Our defense has played well against the run. Bazelak, not a very mobile quarterback. I think their style offensively, at least from a quarterback standpoint, fits what we are going to be best against. And I've seen it now from Heupel. The guy can draw up plays. He can scheme guys open. And if the defense can play a little bit better against, an offense that's not nearly as potent as Florida, I think Tennessee's going to be able to score some points this weekend. I feel pretty good about it. Obviously, the injury report for the week will be important.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest, if it's Hooker or Milton, I think either of them is going to be able to have some success this weekend. The Cooper Mays thing, we'll see there. The good news is Carvin's played quite a bit at center already. I don't think it's going to be some dramatic change going into this week if Cooper can't go. You've now had a road game. In a way, I think if you get into the film room today, there's going to be some guys realizing they left a lot of opportunities on the field.
Yeah.
This wasn't a game where Tennessee was just physically dominated and never stood a chance. This is a good teaching-type game for a lot of players where – you know, if you catch this ball, it's a different game. If you make this block, it's a different game. If you, follow your assignment. If you don't bite on this face, I mean, this is a good teaching game. I don't think this is a game you come out of if you're a player on Tennessee's team saying, this coach just doesn't have it. Here we go again. It doesn't feel like that to me. That said, if it happens again this weekend, it might turn into that, which is why this is such an important game.
Yeah.
If you had to pick it right now, what are you picking?
Man, I don't know.
Anyone got a pick? No.
I mean, some of the players.
No pick.
Some of the players kind of, or one of the players, basically kind of promised that, like this.
Alante Taylor, right?
Alante Taylor. Yeah.
So we're not going to fall apart.
Yeah. And I mean, if they come out and start the game the way they did this week, I mean, they should. We've got the horses to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
Unless these injuries are like worse than we thought, unless they come out with unless all the guys that kind of went down that you were going through the list earlier.
Yeah. Like if Barron's out, Simmons is out.
Yeah. I mean, if that's the case, then I reserve my right to change my mind. But I mean, it's going to be an even type of game. I think some of the things Tennessee is weak on, Missouri hasn't really shown the ability to take advantage of. So, I don't feel like Missouri under Eli Drinkwitz is overly physical either. Like, I actually think the Kentucky matchup for Tennessee will be tougher, especially if they're still kind of beat up and thin, than the Missouri game. Because I feel like Kentucky is a little better in the trenches than Missouri, and that's the difference in those two teams.
They have not looked as good as people thought. I get that they're undefeated, but they didn't look good against South Carolina. Defensively, like, fine, but we know South Carolina's offense is pretty terrible.
Right.
So we'll see about the Kentucky. And there's a lot of time between that game and now.
Yep.
Did you see what Jamie Hyatt, Jalen's dad, tweeted after the game?
Briefly, only this morning during the show. So
thought this was pretty interesting. Said something that cameras don't show: the head coach of a Power 5 program that comes out to hang with the players and families after a loss on the road instead of going to hide on the bus, to share in the disappointments, but also to own it with a positive outlook, knowing they must and will keep fighting. Seeing players that come over to openly introduce themselves to other parents, disappointment in their faces because they hate losing, but wow, their camaraderie, brotherhood, and outlook to lift each other up is a welcomed sight. #culture. doesn't mean anything until you start winning. You can have the best culture in the world. If you're a losing program for years, it doesn't matter. But it is seems like a welcome change from the last regime.
I will say, and we were right about this all offseason, it was much more fun to lose with Josh Heupel than it was with Jeremy Pruitt.
Sure.
It's the little things that count.
Which is weird because we actually scored more points last year and covered.
Yeah, but you could. I mean,
yeah, no, I'm with
us.
Last year, I feel like Pruitt gave up and the team somehow played better. It's kind of like the old Holly Warlick. I'm not even going to coach you girls. You're playing so bad. And then all of a sudden they come back and win. It's like, well, maybe. Maybe. Yeah.
And did you see what Mullen said after the game?
Mm-mm. You touched on it earlier.
Again, I don't. I mean, I remember Nick Saban bragging about, you know, Dooley and all that. But yeah. Mullen after the game said, that was a different looking team than I saw last year. How they played, their intensity, their toughness, their physicalness. Sounds like he was he's either sandbagging a little bit or he seemed actually pretty impressed with the fight and the effort that this team gave compared to last year's, even though, again, last year you scored 3 points more and you covered. Maybe it was 4 points more. Was it 19?
I don't know. The kids look like they've been told what to do. I mean, as dumb as that sounds.
We said that's what we wanted.
They didn't always do it. I mean, but they look like a football team. Now we just got to work on being a good football team. And
that's the next step.
And I'm telling you, man, with SEC Survivor, I've watched a lot of these stupid SEC games where these teams, these Jekyll and Hyde teams, where you can look at the end of the year, you can look back at their schedule and be like, how did they beat that team but lose to that team?
Right.
How did they lose to that team and then turn around and beat that team?
Mm-hmm.
It's all those games that happen every year, and you're right there in the soup now, and it just, well, we'll see. See what happens. It's going to be.
We doing waiver wire picks today?
I mean,
I was just asking. We had a plan. We can just look around the SEC schedule, what happened over the weekend. We haven't really done that.
Yeah, we need to talk about some other.
Then 9:30, you and me got a date with the box.
Yeah, not good, Bob.
Not good at all.
Good at all.
Called it, but not good.
Yep. This segment brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Check them out online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com and make your appointment. Doctors Malone and Costa, they got you covered at Knoxville Smiles. Make your appointment at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. I was watching these Kentucky-South Carolina highlights, Houston, because I didn't get a chance to watch that one since the same time as Tennessee-Florida. Feels like Kentucky's problem is what it always is. Like, they can, you know, take some more shots with Will Levis at quarterback, but they still go into these huge, like, offensive droughts. You know, I mean, I think they're more physical up front than obviously South Carolina, Missouri. I'm worried. That's what I'm worried about with the Tennessee game. But after kind of lighting up a nobody in week one, it doesn't seem like they've really – I mean, Rodriguez is a real physical runner. The first drive, they went right down and scored a touchdown against South Carolina. They just kind of just ran it down their throat with him. But, I mean, Levis has gone deep and thrown a pick here, and it's just kind of still 7-0, and it ended up being kind of a low-scoring, ugly SEC, you know, win for them. And that's always been kind of their issue, is that even when they might be the better team, like if they don't have that ability to finish off drives and don't have the skill players to, you know, to make some explosive plays, all of a sudden, if your team can do that, you can beat them. And sometimes beat them even pretty easily. It'll be a big test this week. Obviously we'll know a lot more about them as they play Florida, since that's at 6 o'clock, in Lexington.
Huge. Brett sent this in that Kentucky has, I don't know if it actually is the worst, but it's pretty bad. They are -9 in the turnover department for the season.
I don't know whether to be excited about that or worried that, well, if they don't turn it over, they're better. Or, hey, that's good. They'll turn it over against us. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, Vern.
Yeah. They're definitely doing some more innovative, like, not even innovative, but, like, the stuff everyone's doing to move the football right now. But just still seem pretty inconsistent on offense. And I guess those turnovers, that would explain a lot of it. South Carolina only had, didn't score at all first half of this game. It's 10-0 at the half. I don't know how much I learned from highlights, but just feels like you can beat any of these teams. But you could obviously, Tennessee's definitely not good enough to where they're just going to, play pretty well, beat Kentucky, play pretty well, beat Missouri. Like, make sure you put them away. Make sure you tighten up these penalties, drops. Like, that's going to be the difference. It's going to be a difference. It wasn't the difference in the Florida game because eventually, it just seemed like your defense wasn't going to hold up. But not getting 3 points here, not getting 7 points there, that's going to be it when you play Kentucky and Missouri. That's going to be the difference. I mean, no one expects these games to be more than 10 points either way, right?
Expects, no.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, sure. I mean, but I don't know. You mentioned Clemson lost.
Yeah.
So they're pretty much done here, right? No no aspirations for them. The ACC schedule already weak as all get out. And as you mentioned, you lost NC State, a team that already lost to Mississippi State, who's not good. They lost LSU over the weekend and obviously had already lost games, lost the game to Memphis, who lost to UTSA over the weekend. So that was a whole thing. I don't know. Wow. Wake Forest over Virginia. Syracuse over Liberty. Alabama rolled. They had Southern Miss. It was 63-14. Georgia scored 35 first quarter points.
Yeah, JT Daniels got an early call to the sideline.
At Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is just atrocious.
Yeah.
I don't know. Georgia's offense, it remains to be seen how good it really is on the big stage. We'll I guess get to see that more down the road when they at least when they play Florida and some other games. Oregon blew out Arizona. Oklahoma struggled, but eventually got by West Virginia with a game winning field goal in the fourth quarter as time expired. That was something.
They were chanting for their backup quarterback.
Who's this?
Oklahoma.
Ooh, sorry, Dave.
Caleb Williams show.
Yeah, they were chanting, "We want Caleb."
I'm excited to see him.
They did win, right?
It'd be nice to have multiple 16, five 13. Stars.
Spencer Rattler,
he's not looked good.
Was 26 of 36, 256, and one touchdown, one pick.
Is that terrible?
No, but whenever you're used
I was going to say it's a little spoiled of the fan base. Yeah, but I guess I get that, especially when he had so much hype surrounding him going into the season.
Well, the problem was they couldn't run the ball. Eric Gray had 38 yards on 12 carries, and that was, better than their average. They actually only averaged 2 yards a carry. So that's rough.
Kentucky on the season, 11 turnovers, tied for most in the country. That is 6 lost fumbles and 5 interceptions in 4
Rodriguez
games.
Has had a fumbling problem.
Yeah.
So that's been a big part of it.
He fumbled one walking into the end zone against Missouri.
I saw somebody tweet, I don't know why Rodriguez keeps getting a play with putting the ball on the ground.
Because he runs for 200 yards in the process. You take the good with the bad.
Arkansas beat Texas A&M 20-10.
Thank you for that.
They even had to go to the backup quarterback. Still got it done.
Yeah, when that happened, I thought, Nate, we might
have a shot.
We might have a shot.
But no.
The problem for A&M, and there are several, I don't know how good Haynes King would have been for them this year, but Calzada is pretty terrible.
Yep.
They get the ball. I think they're down,
They were down, I think, a touchdown. Was it 17-10? And he, they, three-man rush, and no pressure on him, but he steps up in the pocket for really no reason. And then as he tries to escape the pocket that he stepped up in, again, five blocking three, he trips over his own man and takes a, about a seven-yard loss on the sack for tripping on his own man. Missed some open guys. They can't really run the ball the way a lot of people thought they'd be able to run the ball. Isaiah,
they can run it okay, but when you know the quarterback's not going to beat you, it just changes everything.
Right. Calzada for the game, 20 of 36, 151, and an interception, no touchdown. Spiller wasn't terrible. 12 carries, 95 yards, and a touchdown. Makes you
incredible.
Well, it's 12 for 95, but one of those was a 67-yarder. Yeah. So that's really
– No, I mean, but even his 4- and 5-yard runs, it was like, man, he's having to earn all of it.
Right.
I mean, somebody tweeted –
It's 11 carries for 20
– quarterback.
What is that, 28 yards? 20 – yeah.
They should have just put Spiller at quarterback and had A-Chain line up beside him and just rolled with the Wildcat.
Probably right. A-Chain's pretty good. I didn't know that's how you said that. I thought it was like Akane, but no, A-Chain, which is badass.
Jefferson – I mean – The difference in this game, though, really is like one deep ball. I mean, it wasn't pretty for Arkansas by any stretch. So I'm not sure they're really for real. This was just a battle of who can play less stupid. And Barry Odom has that defense at Arkansas playing very sound football.
Yeah.
That's why when they play Alabama, it's probably not going to be good enough because they're just not good enough.
Yeah.
But when you play A&M with the quarterback that's lacking, it's good enough. And when you play Texas, first-year coach, it's good enough. When they play, you know, Mississippi State, probably be good enough. You know, I mean, like LSU, same thing. It's just they're playing really smart football. Like Kendall Briles is really good at what he does. Barry Odom, really good at what he does. Sam Pittman has always been a really good motivator, a really good coaches type of players type of coach.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I said that over the offseason. I was like, do we think Jimbo Fisher's really elite, or is he just sound and solid? And I think he's just pretty sound and solid. And I wonder if some of his offensive ingenuity is now kind of out the window. Like he's still kind of running like Jameis Winston national championship stuff, and the game's evolved a little more and teams are doing some new stuff, and the stuff they're running just still kind of works when you got really good players, but when you don't,
which is weird because they've recruited pretty damn well,
but and when you don't have a quarterback,
I know it just
matter.
Doesn't seem to that too, but their defense has been again okay.
Has been really good until this game, until they blew the one long play. I mean, KJ Jefferson only completed 7 passes.
Yeah.
The defense was probably just good enough to win this game.
I just don't think they do anything really well. They don't have a calling card as a team. Like, Arkansas is going to play sound defense. They're going to run the football creatively. It works. Kind of like Kentucky a little bit right now. They don't really have an offensive identity. They got Will Levis, and everyone thought after the first game they're going to throw it all over the place, and then they were going to run it all over the place, and now they're stuck with what do we want to be.
And Kendall Briles finds unique ways for them to throw the football, too. That's how they got the long touchdown. They basically he was able to isolate a guy one-on-one, and when the receiver beat the guy, it was over. It's a touchdown. A&M couldn't do that back to Arkansas. Arkansas always played the umbrella coverage and everybody looking at the quarterback and just zoned the whole game. And it worked. We mentioned Clemson lost. Ohio State rolled, even though they sat their quarterback because his shoulder was sore. Notre Dame over Wisconsin. Wisconsin's got major issues. 31-point.
Man, they didn't have major issues, and I mean they kicked the field goal to take the lead to start the fourth. I mean, they're 34 points scored in the fourth quarter. Problem was they take the lead 13-10, kick return touchdown, 3-and-out, touchdown Notre Dame, field goal Notre Dame.
Snowball.
Now they got to get back in the game. The guy throws 2 pick sixes late, and a game that was actually a really really good game for 45 minutes turns into an absolute bloodbath. Notre Dame 41, Wisconsin 13. Again, 31 of the 41 for Notre Dame scored in the fourth quarter.
Baylor beat Iowa State 31-29. Down goes the Cyclones again.
I think it might be time for me to drop them this week.
We might have to just do all that tomorrow.
What was the final on that one?
31-29.
That was a little, they Baylor was running away with it there for a little bit. Good job.
BYU hung on and survived South Florida. Coastal Carolina 53-3 over UMass. Michigan beat Greg Schiano 20-13. Michigan State
couldn't hang it on, could you?
Beat Scott Frost and Nebraska in overtime by a field goal 23-20.
A game they should have won, probably.
Georgia Tech blasted North Carolina, which was a surprise, 45-22. I guess, man, we talk about Auburn coming back after we draw our punishments, because that was something. Then you had LSU edging out Mississippi State as well. And we talked about Boston College beating Missouri, but still.
Did you see how Nebraska lost, by the way?
No.
Okay, they take a 20-13 lead with 7:29 to play.
Okay.
Force a three and out.
Uh-huh.
Get the ball back.
All right.
I think they might have gone three and out. Then they punt. 62-yard punt return for a touchdown by Michigan State with 3:47 to go. And then they lose it in overtime, 23-20.
Yikes.
Had it won.
Mm. That close. We'll come back.
Michigan State, look out. Undefeated.
Punishment time next.
God.
It's that time of the day of the week. Jimbo Fisher let Houston down. They let me down.
Yeah, we called it.
Yeah.
Always good when.
Well, you said it. You're like, who are you picking in that game? And I was like, well, feels like Arkansas is the right pick, but.
Well, we all picked Arkansas to cover.
Did we? I couldn't remember if I was an idiot and thought. I did think A&M could maybe just grind out an ugly win, but once they gave up that big bomb for a touchdown, they got behind. It was like that. Once they got down two scores, that plan kind of went out the window. I mean, you keep it within one score, you can just kind of pound the football and hope you eventually kind of break them down. And A&M did that on that long Spiller run for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem was it like wasn't a tie game then, or they weren't down three then. They were like still down 10 or 14 or whatever it was. I don't remember.
Jimbo Fisher, what a bum.
Mm-hmm.
Bum.
Well, let's draw these things. Then we can come back to these other games.
All right, hit it all day. Who? You first, then me, I think?
I guess so.
Yeah.
That's what it was during the thing. You got the punches pulled up?
Momentarily, please.
All right, I'll give you a second.
All right, I got him up.
This is the draw that really sucks.
Yeah, this is the best. There's nothing good in there, man. There's just nothing good.
49ers.
I think that's baby food, but I could be wrong.
Great. Great.
Am I right?
Don't you love that one?
Am I right?
Yeah, it's baby food.
Is it really? You sure?
Three cans of baby food.
Mm. Some yams.
No, I get to pick them.
Oh.
And, I'm just writing it.
Update, just make changing it to baby food.
No, I'm writing down that you have the baby food challenge, and it's off the board.
All right, fair enough.
This is the worst. This is awful. This is because you just don't know.
Yep.
You're fine.
The Dolphins? Is that what that is?
Yes.
What are the Miami Dolphins? Houston.
He does not look happy.
Wasabi.
Ooh.
What did you have to do? What did we decide for the wasabi challenge?
It's like three packs of wasabi. It's like a pack of, or a squeeze tube an hour.
A squeeze tube?
Yeah.
It wasn't that much. Like a packet.
Wasabi.
Well, yeah, but that's hard. I had two squeeze tubes for the whole show, I think is what it was actually. They're small. The little, like a travel size, toothpaste size.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's good. I've been snacking on some wasabi peas this week, so building up an immunity.
I'm just glad it's off the table. Maybe you'll be
really
fine.
Was it that bad?
It just messed my whole system up. I don't know. Like, I could taste that stuff for like the next week.
I love wasabi.
It just kind of like stuck in my esophagus all week. It was
I watched Osmosis Jones over the weekend, so I understand how the human body kind of works a little bit more now.
Baby food.
Have you ever seen Osmosis Jones?
No.
You should check it out.
The cheese is worse than the baby
food. I think I'd rather go wasabi than the baby food.
I would have traded you, I think.
I should review
it messed
that.
Me up. You'll probably find it.
Like, if you drew the wasabi and I had baby food, you'd trade it?
Yeah, I think so.
I hate it. It's flavorless. Well, it sits on your stomach. It's bad.
I think we'll review Osmosis Jones tomorrow.
Why? Depot. It's Optimism Tuesday. You're not doing a depot on Optimism Tuesday.
Yeah.
We got work to do. Maybe Wednesday while we sit over here and eat our...
I feel like the fans need to pick me up after that that terrible second half.
Oh, breaking news. Nick Saban will be a guest on Peyton and Eli's simulcast tonight for Monday Night Football.
Right. Well, good.
Okay.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great.
What's it matter? It's I tell Tennessee fans don't even get mad anymore.
It's smart.
It's basically
he wants Arch. He's doing this to get Arch.
It's two different leagues. Like Saban, Alabama, that's like the NFL, and then
it's just going to be a Bama recruiting pitch. And mm-hmm. I just don't want it. That's all. Like they don't need any help. Have Heupel on, please, or Kiffin. At least if it was Kiffin, I could enjoy and dream. But it's fine. It's all good. Apparently, Burger King has some baby food. You ready for these? Garden salad puree.
Okay.
French fry puree.
All right.
Whopper puree.
That sounds delicious.
That sounds perfect after a Tennessee loss. Just give me the baby food as I whine and cry my way to sadness. Here's some stats for Missouri and Tennessee. Total defense. Missouri, 115th in the country. That's out of 130 teams. They are 115th in total defense. Vols, 45th in total defense.
It's like Missouri's played a tough schedule either.
Rush defense, Tennessee, 37th.
Uh-oh.
37th nationally in rush defense after their worst performance of the season against Florida. Not too bad. Missouri rush defense. Nate, I think you were out of the room when I read this during the break. Out of 130 teams, where would you guess Missouri ranks against the run? Davey, you heard it. Don't guess.
Wait, what? I thought you just said that.
No, that was total.
That was total?
Yeah. Tennessee's 37th against the run. Missouri is what out of 130?
Well, you said they were 115 overall, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll say 120.
129.
Oh.
129 against the run. They are better than. I got to find the team. Let me find that team real fast.
What about Auburn? Almost losing to Georgia State.
Hey, let me get these stats in here first.
It's 4th and 9.
Missouri is better than Ohio.
Okay.
By 14 yards a game. Total offense. Tennessee, 58th nationally. Missouri, 20th in total offense. Passing offense, Missouri, 12th nationally. Tennessee, 81st. Rush offense, Tennessee, 34th. Not bad, right? Mm-hmm. 30 with Heupel, who would have guessed that? 34th in rush offense. Missouri, 74th. Poor Tyler Beatty, not being utilized.
Yeah.
Auburn. Oh, really thought Georgia State was going to do it again, and then is it Henley avoids
Finley.
Finley. Mm-hmm. Avoids that sack on 4th and goal or 4th and whatever it was.
When did Bo Nix go out?
They benched him.
Wow.
Well, he kind of got hit low, too. I didn't know.
Was he? Okay.
Yeah.
He wasn't playing well.
No, he wasn't.
Not that, I mean, Finley wasn't exactly lights out. They blocked a punt for a touchdown. That kept him in it.
Right. Now they're getting dominated. It was to the point where I'm like, Sean Elliott, the Georgia State coach, it's like, maybe he just needs to come back to the SEC because, like, they got destroyed by Army in week 1. I only remember that because we were talking about the betting line on it. I don't know what's happened in between, but I don't think they've been very good. All of a sudden, they're on to Auburn, and they're like $1 million. I'm like, this guy he only knows how to beat SEC teams.
Well, he's got SEC experience from his time at South Carolina. Uh-huh. He knows what he's doing. Not an impressive performance by them, but as Russell said, teams that take football seriously don't lose to Georgia State. They find a way
to
come back and win. Mm. So Brian Hart, he fired the receivers coach right after the game. Just said, not good enough. Bye.
Wonder if the receivers are like running all the wrong routes and stuff, just making it possible.
Making it hard on old Bo?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
I don't know what to think of Missouri. I'm looking at their schedule. I mean, I've watched a lot of that week one game. I don't remember why exactly. It just happened to be on timing-wise. It was a good slot. They beat Central Michigan by 10. They lost to Kentucky by a touchdown. The next game doesn't really matter. And then this week, I don't know, man. I think I think Tennessee will be able to make some of those little mistakes that they've been making and still be in this game late.
Yeah.
I just are they going to make a big one, or are they going to keep getting a little better?
I think if Tennessee can play clean,
they should win.
I think this could be a game where Tennessee looks like $1 million. I don't know if that won't necessarily mean we're all of a sudden fixed and cured, but I really don't think Missouri is that good. Mm-hmm. I think this is a game Tennessee could win by double digits as long as they don't shoot themselves in the foot repeatedly like you're talking about. I mean, Missouri a little bit better against the pass, but that's probably only because teams realize they can run the football down Missouri's throat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think their pass rush is very good. So if Tennessee can set up some play action, there should be some shots down the field for the taking. And I just like our defense, you know, versus their offense much more than the alternative. Bazelak, not terrible, but he is prone to throw some turnovers from time to time. Yeah. We like that. What?
I was trying to even go back to their schedule last year, and it just doesn't make any sense on who they allowed a lot of points to and who they didn't, you know?
Mm.
Like, they beat Kentucky 20-10 and South Carolina 17-10, and then they beat Arkansas 50-48, which you'd think Arkansas would be the game that would be low scoring, maybe. I don't know. Then they lost to Mississippi State 51-32, a team that obviously is all about going up and down the field. Just very confusing.
We can get a little pressure on Bazelak. We'll be all right. He has thrown for 1,200 yards already, though.
Don't forget to get your bets in for Monday Night Football tonight with the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Use our promo code 3OUT when you sign up. We love it. You will as well. It's promo code 3OUT, so they know we sent you. It's Cowboys and Eagles tonight. And if you're a new user, you can get 30-1 odds just to pick the winner. It's a $150 payout on just a $5 bet. If you pick the winner correctly in tonight's Monday Night Football, you got the Manning cast going again. Should be fun. Nick Saban going to be on that one as a special guest. You can avoid that and just listen to the other guys call the game. But either way, pick your winner tonight, and you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Use our promo code 3OUT when you sign up for the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager and designate offer market max bonus $150. Bonus fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For a gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Yep. One more segment.
Final segment of the program.
Brett wants us to give a couple shout-outs before we end the show. Some things we'll probably talk about a little bit more tomorrow. Justin Tucker's bomb of a kick that, if it happens, it happens. I have a hard time believing there will be a better kick. Now, maybe outside with the breeze in your favor, maybe at high altitude, but what was the final tally on that, 67?
66.
When he first lined up, they said 68. Then it kept kind of going down. 66-yarder as time expires to beat Detroit in a dome off the dead center of the crossbar. Absolute brilliant kick by Justin Tucker. Did you see the crow hop into it, too? I mean, he gave it everything he had. Awesome kick. Said he was a little short from 65 in warm-up, so he wanted to give it a little oomph. And it worked. Great kick by him.
I didn't think I almost thought he hit too high to have that much distance, but it
hit it just high enough, just
perfect,
just far enough.
Yeah.
And to bounce it in. I mean, everybody behind it and in front of it thought it, you know, bounced off the front. It was cool. That was a great kick.
It went up in the air. I saw it bounce and went up in the air.
And then I saw it hit the net, and I was like, oh, got it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, poor Lions fans. They were all cheering. But it probably shouldn't have happened with the delay of game that they missed by about 2 seconds.
They missed that one.
But they also converted a 4th-and-19 on that drive the Ravens did on a great throw by Lamar Jackson. The United States, Matt says he's going to call in tomorrow to talk about this. Domination in the Ryder Cup. Was it 19-9 the final?
Thank good my bookie had this. Thank God my bookie had
thank
this.
Goodness, thank God. Thank good. That works.
Had this boosted bet you could get on because, you know, I listened to Charlie Collier early in the week. I was like, oh, okay, Europe. That's where the value is. And I was like, as soon as it started, I was like, this is not a good call.
Oh, we jumped all over him.
Yeah, it was a blowout. Beat down.
Pounding.
Mm-hmm.
Marquez Callaway, first NFL touchdown on a, what would I call that play? Jameis threw it, getting sacked. He was about horizontal when he threw it, and Callaway just goes up and mossed somebody in the end zone.
Jameis ain't it, is he? Like, no. They're going to win some games, but it's not.
He's at least entertaining.
I'm going to give him some time.
I do agree that he needs his own reality show.
He's funny.
Yeah.
He's a weird dude, but he's funny. They don't have Michael Thomas. They don't have a lot of really good weapons at receiver.
He just holds it so long, though. Like, yeah. Just pull the trigger, buddy.
Taysom Hill made a couple plays, mm-hmm. iced the game with that big first down, also had a touchdown run.
They won the game.
Their defense is pretty good. Defense is good. And if they can just avoid the turnovers, I think they'll be okay. I mean, they're not, you know, threatening a Super Bowl run or anything unless Jameis becomes some world beater.
Did you guys see that play in the Cardinals game yesterday that I've never seen happen before in my life?
What play is this?
109 pick return, are you talking, or kick return?
So Rondale Moore was back receiving a punt. The ref behind him throws a flag.
Oh. Mm.
The flag hits the football as it's coming to Rondale Moore, slightly altering the path of the football, and ended up fumbling it.
He muffed it.
I missed that.
Did he recover it? I just saw the video. I don't know what happens after.
Where you just see the ball.
Yeah, I didn't see
he's over on the sideline, so I don't know if he got it back on it or if it went out of bounds or another Cardinals guy got it. Or
what's the rule at that point?
Kick-catch interference, right?
No, ref's part of the game. Like, if the ball's bouncing out of bounds in basketball and it hits the ref in the leg,
that's ridiculous, though. He hit the ball.
You're looking at it.
I'm looking at it now. I can't tell who recovered it.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd ever seen a flea flicker picked off for a pick six either. That happened in that game.
Yeah. Oh, Trevor Lawrence.
And then you had, I don't know how long the kick was for the Cardinals. Is that Prater? I think, yeah, Prater's the kicker for the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. He misses that one. They take it 109 yards to the house.
Yeah, it was going to be a 68-yarder.
68 yards. So that would have set the record. But, yeah.
Huh.
He did have that. It was like a 64-yarder for the Panthers a couple of years ago. I think that's who it was. And they didn't have time to really get set, so he doesn't even have the opportunity to go through his motion, just gets out there and barely gets that thing off for a game winner. That was about 3 years ago, maybe.
Shouts out to
the Titans.
Justin Fields and the Bears and Coach Nagy.
Yeah, he's getting fired.
They had more. What was it? They had there was some crazy bad stats where you know, like, the other team had more points than they had yards or something at one point. I mean, it was really rough.
I think there was the Browns, right?
Yeah,
Garrett had. Did he finish with 4.5 sacks?
Mm-hmm, I think so.
The Browns defense scored 60-something points in my fantasy league. They were second most in the league behind Josh Allen.
I think they had 8 sacks for the team.
8 sacks.
Justin Fields' stat line was 6 of 20 for 68 yards.
And he was sacked how many times?
8 times.
He was sacked 8 times? That's not what you want. Not what you want.
9 sacks for the game.
Oh, even more.
They got one.
Yeah,
late.
I guess I must have. Yeah, I must have checked, and I was like, all right.
How many, did he throw a pick?
No picks.
Fumble? Any fumbles? How'd they score so many points?
What, the Bears?
No,
Bears
had the 6. Browns.
Oh.
The
defense.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, I know sacks are 2, but good Lord. How many points did the Bears score?
It was only 1 fumble.
Bears had 6 points total.
I guess I'm going to get some for that. Jeez. Rough All right, day. Optimism Tuesday tomorrow. We got to turn the page, get ready for the Tigers.
All right, we'll do it then. The Blitz is next now. Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio.